This is a Glassbox Media podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than they're worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Charles.
Jim, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, we're doing something a little bit different and very special this week, aren't we?
Oh, yes. This isn't a normal episode of the Blank Podcast, but instead, it's an episode of another pod that we really recommend. It's called The Joe Marler Show. From the Crowd Network.
Yes, that's right. Joe Marler is an international rugby player, but this isn't a rugby podcast. Joe and his co-host Tom Fordyce, formerly of the Peter Crouch podcast, make a show all about you, the listener.
They've had chats with surgeons, sex workers, farmers, and opera singers because they believe everyone is interesting when you ask the right questions.
Absolutely right. And this is so good. So have a listen to this episode about songwriters. And if you love it as much as Charles and I do, then search The Joe Marler Show in your podcast app.
On Joe Marler's Show.
Our guest today is a songwriter. And his name is Biff Stannard. Our guest today is a songwriter. He writes songs that need to be sung. If there's a story to be told, he'll write it for you, and then he'll sing it. No, then you'll sing it. If you choose to, his name is Biff. His name is Biff. Awkward as fuck.
Brilliant. Bit of auto-tune. Be perfect.
Well, welcome, Biff Stannard.
Hello. Nice to meet you all.
Could that be a hit, Biff?
I reckon it could. I reckon I could work my wonders on that one, yeah.
I think you're a fucking liar. Straight off the bat. That's where I'm going with
you'd
the
guest today. You'd be surprised what you can
today.
Do these days. I mean, I produce as well, so you'd be surprised what you
what
can
do. What do you mean, surprised? That's obviously, that's all made up. You can't change people's voices to sing.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yes?
I'm naming names. No, you can completely auto-tune's a thing. You can completely change the tuning, put them in tune, and then you can make them lower, higher, female, male. It can completely, you'd be shocked.
So can I be a singer?
Yeah, easy.
Tom!
Here we go.
Easy.
Do you know what I think he sounded like at the start before it went really shit?
Oh.
He sounded a little bit, it's quite a high, pure
head
voice.
I was into the head voice.
It's a little bit Brian Harvey for me.
Big guys normally have a good head voice. I've got quite a good head voice.
Head voice?
Yeah, which is up there. Yeah.
Try staying alive.
Ha! Ha!
Don't try staying alive.
Maybe not.
Ha! Staying alive. Staying alive. Ha! Staying alive.
You're more in tune when you sing high.
Tom, what are you? Are you a head voice or a body voice?
Crooner, I reckon.
A what? A crooner?
I reckon you croon.
Are you a crooner?
Yeah. A bit of Lee Hazelwood.
Right, so Biff, who have you worked with?
I'm a pop kid, really. I started off pop music. So I started off, my first hits were E17. I don't know, you probably remember that.
Very much so.
Stay now, stay
now. Yasmin. Yeah.
So, what?
Yeah. So I started, that was, my first hit was House of Love.
Everybody in the House of Love.
Yeah. And then, so I did all their stuff.
You did Been Around the World?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a tune.
I wrote that with Brian. Yeah,
he
yeah.
He sings that beautifully, doesn't
he? He's got the sweetest voice. Got the sweetest voice. So, yes, I started.
Baby, if you got to go away.
That's fuck still going, off. That one.
You serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my man. God. This is going to be great. I love it.
So, started off with that one. Thought I was kind of Bertie Big Balls doing these 17 and everything. Because you've got everything else around songwriting's a bit mad with managers and money grabbers and all this shit. So, you're like a bit like, what the fuck? Playing it, thinking, oh, you know, top 10 hits, everything. And then Spice Girls come along and they do all of that, and then everything just goes.
Right, right, right. And you're then just dropping in. You okay? It was impressive.
E17 was
impressive. Happened. I like that. And then you're just going to casually just go with yeah, and then just Spice Girls. Yeah, is, you know. Thing.
Yeah.
What? Fuck off. How did that come about?
I was in a studio meeting Jason Donovan, of all people, who was sitting in this room alone meditating. It was a bit of a weird meeting. And as I came out, Mel B jumped on my back, because they were called Touch then. They were only like 17, 18. She jumped on my back. She's like, who are you? And da-da-da-da-da. And I said, oh, I'm...
It's a strange way of greeting someone, but yeah.
So, have you ever met them? And then she said, what do you do? And I said, I write and produce. And what have we done? I said, Steam, E17, which is the hit, I think, around about just before then. They loved it. So she kind of steered me. She steered me into this room where they're doing the showcases where new bands trying to get signed sort of do their thing in front of, like, execs and all these arseholes, you know, A&R.
Oh, arsehole, yeah.
That kind of, you know, music industry sort of stuff. And then as soon as I walked in there, I met all of them, and their manager realised that I was there. He chucked everyone else, and then they just sung for me for 2 hours, and we sort of fell in love sort of thing. Ah. We had this kind of like love affair that's gone on for 25 years. And then within, I think, 2 weeks later, we wrote Wannabe, To Become One, and a song called Feed Your Love, which has just come out on the 20th, which was Too Rude, It's Filthy. So we had to, it's really disgusting.
What do you mean? It's about too rude, jobs. Too filthy. Yeah. It's really disgusting.
It's great. I can come on your show. I can tell the truth about some of the songs because it's you boys. So there's a song about blowjobs called Feed Your Love that we...
Fucking hell. what a great
What's the next
track
lyric?
Feed Your Blowjobs.
Feed Your Love to Me, because I really, really, really need it. Feed Your Love to Me. And then Jerry does a really filthy rap in Spanish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's great.
Kind of weren't allowed because we realised they were going to be a teen band or even like pre-teen for kids.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's not good to put a song about that.
No, blowjob songs. Wait until we need to then recoup more money.
Yeah.
25 years later
yeah,
when everyone else has chuck become filthy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But so we did that in 3 days, and then a lot of ears picked up and record labels and stuff. And it went crazy from there. So, I mean, for me, it was mad. I mean, for them, it was... Can you imagine? But
we need to talk more about Wannabe.
Okay.
Wannabe is a massive song.
Yeah.
It's an enormous song, and it changes music at that time. So how do you write Wannabe?
Took about 2 hours.
What?
So how I write is I listen. I call myself a garden fence writer, so I'm just like that. So say if I was writing a song with you two and you as a band, I'd spend about 3 hours just getting to know you. So I feel like I know you, Joe, because I've read your book.
Oh, thanks.
So I kind of have... You get to know people and get to know how their mood is that day. So it's not about them, it's about information about them and their lives, but how they're feeling that day. And then you kind of tune into it. And they came in and they terrified me, really terrified me. And I'm like, I'm a gay man. And I was just like, fucking hell. And I just thought, well, how would a young lad who fancies one of them, how would you kind of get in there and date one of them? And I wanted to write about how that lad would feel and how intimidated. And because it was such a force of nature. And I was obsessed with that. I was obsessed with how they... Grown men would walk in the room and wither because they were just like, oof,
yeah,
on them, you know. And so I wanted to write about that. So that's where Wannabe started off with, you know, Summer Loving by Grease.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. I started with that kind of progression because I love that song. And we had a little shitty drum beat, really. And then I just listened. And they were saying stuff like Zigga Zigar, and they were saying
what
all this
stuff. What do you mean they were saying, what the fuck is Zigga Zigar?
Zigga Zigar is quite a... Basically, it's about, well...
Zigga Zigar.
Yeah, yeah. If you watch the video,
Zigga Zigar.
You watch the video, they do that with their legs. Well, it's kind of what they used to call it. They just used to call it just a Zigga Zigar. And then I was just listening all the time, making notes, writing stuff down. Then we came up with some melodies. And I just thought, yeah, Friendship Never Ends just came from that whole thing, like, if you want to be my lover, you've got to get with my friends, which is what you did. If you hit on one of them, you would be interrogated by the other four. And that's what the song's about.
That song also seems to have about 8 different hooks.
Yeah, not in tech. We didn't really know what we was doing because you got to remember they they weren't writers then, so sometimes the best pop songs are written with, because I collaborate. So as long as I know what I'm doing and I'm listening, sometimes people that can't write songs write amazing songs because they've got no rules. They don't think, oh, I need a verse, bridge. They just shout hooks at you. And so my job is to sort of piece it together. And then they fucked off. And then you need to lay down. You have a little lay down because you're just exhausted, because they just tire you out. And then we did a rough mix of it. I fell asleep, I think, because those days we used to just sleep on the floor in the studio. It wasn't a lot bigger than this room. Me and my mate Matt and the other, all five of them. So they'd gone. I was having a nap on the floor. He'd gone to get a coffee and he just left a post-it saying press play when he'd done a rough mix. And I just woke up after a nap, press play and heard Wannabe.
What the fuck's a hook?
A hook? Just an earworm, the bit that stays in your head.
An earworm. What the fuck's an earworm? You can help answer this as well, because you seem to be showing off with all your musical knowledge.
All right, and I really feel like I should be doing this, but in Wannabe, bum, 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 bum.
That's Summer Loving.
Well, not far off. So you love Hello by Adele, don't you? But the bit you would always sing would be Hello.
Yeah,
that's the hook. So the main bit of that song that's the most memorable, that's the earworm.
Oh, okay.
That's the earworm. It's like a melodic earworm that's got on your head and fucking stays there. And
yeah.
You keep repeating it.
Syphilis.
It's like syphilis, yeah. It's like syphilis.
Happy syphilis.
We're comparing musical hooks so, to syphilis. Yeah. That's what this show's about.
Yeah. So pop music is about where you find those hooks and how original you can make them. Something might be pretty boring, but there just might be one bit that everybody loves and it's a hit. So for me, when I write a song, I always want to write a song where someone pissed can sing that bit. Every time I write a song, there has to be one bit that if you're pissed in a club.
Good.
So I did all the five. Remember five?
Yeah.
I did all the songs.
Do I remember five?
Got the feeling, jumping,
yeah,
touch the ceiling.
Did all those.
Get on up when you're down.
Biff's trying to talk.
Sorry, Biff.
That's all right.
You need to calm down.
I quite like the finger clicking.
You need to calm down. We will put aside some time in this episode for you to just express yourself, okay? But for now, we're listening to Biff. Please carry on.
It's fine. So something to keep on moving. It's got to be something that's hooky enough and earworm enough that you can remember when you're pissed. So get on up, that's the bit people were singing on that. Like Kylie Minogue, la 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 la. That's the bit you would sing pissed.
You worked on that?
I didn't do that one, but I've done loads of it. I've worked with her for 20 years.
The real one, yeah?
The real Kylie, yeah.
I still can't get my head around Zigga Zigar, and that's actually a lyric.
But that's kind of like an earworm, isn't it? People still say that 25 years later, which is so weird for me.
You've got three hooks in that song, have you? Because you've got Zigga Zigar, I'd sing drums.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, that's one.
Yeah,
isn't it? When people can talk, I tell you what I want, and then people just start singing that song, don't they? That fucks with you.
Do you find that really, really weird?
Yeah, I was going to send something to you earlier, because as I came into the station, there was a brass band playing Spice Up Your Life. Which is, I've got to say, is the best thing about what I do, is that years later, random people sing your songs.
Yeah.
It's the best feeling.
Must be unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. Or you can always, if you're casually in the supermarket and it comes on, and that's fantastic and that's exciting. Or weddings, funerals.
At funerals that I've been to, there's been many. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
They don't
want.
Do that with the bit. Well, might have.
Maybe they should actually.
They might do.
I would like that.
Yeah, I get Mama, the song Mama by Spice Girls a lot. That was at my mum's funeral as well. Yeah, thanks, Mum. Yeah, I remember telling me at my dad's. Long story, but she said, "You cry at mine." I was like, "Properly stepped mama."
She stitched you. She says, "You're properly up."
You fucking. I like it. You'll fucking cry at mine.
She was like, proper, like,
I was like, "All right, Mum, could you just stay alive for a bit longer before you green, start like, telling me to like, fucking grieve?"
Yeah, I was just sitting there like, "She should be crying at mine." I was like, "Okay." So next year, and I'm sitting there, and I knew it was coming. And I was sitting there thinking, fuck, why did I write this? It's so long. Why is that last chorus so long? Because you're just frozen. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to lose it. God, it felt it went on forever, that song. But yeah, you get amazing stuff like that. Complete strangers crying or laughing, or two become one. Those people get married to, walk into.
You've been on Zoom calls with Lady Gaga. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Zoom with Gaga, yeah.
I've zoomed with Gaga.
Yeah, zoomed with all sorts. Yeah.
That's the single best sentence anyone
what
has said on
this
podcast.
What do you mean you've zoomed with Gaga?
Because I did a version of Married in the Night with her and Kylie Minogue, and she was so pleased with it, she zoomed me. And you go through these different layers of the House of Gaga with these different people, and then eventually, and they're all like, you know, a bit, and then you meet her and she's lovely. All the really famous ones, I don't know how many, when you meet the really famous ones, they're lovely. Always.
She's,
without a doubt.
She's big.
She's awesome. She's really kind. And they know, they also, I think because of their level of fame, they know you're a little bit like Rabbit in Headlights. Yeah. So they're just really kind. So they make you feel really good. Yeah. So she was like, Wannabe is amazing. Blah, 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 blah. And then you feel comfortable. And then she just thanks us. And yeah.
Mate, her in A Star Is Born, I just, oh my God, the whole performance is just, I just love it so hard. She's one of my favourites.
Just live, her voice live is like next level. She's much better live than on record, I think.
Is she?
Yeah, I think so. Some singers are.
You're a Gaga fan? It's like that time you told me you didn't like Adele.
I'm screwed with you two, aren't I? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you
it's
are.
Not that I don't like Adele. I like her as a person.
No, yeah, right. Noah, do you? Noah, well.
Not like Biff.
Right. So you've spoken to Adele, have you?
I've not met Adele, yeah.
Fucking hell. Hang on a minute, he's met Adele.
I'd happily introduce you.
Fucking hell, it's Adele.
It turns out that her three favourite bands growing up were Spice Girls, E17 and Gabrielle, all of which I did.
Bingo.
And she did this weird thing where she kind of went to kiss my feet. She was a bit pissed. But she's amazing.
She's into feet.
But maybe. Yeah. Maybe into feet.
Right, let's actually talk about how you go about writing a song. You've touched on it at the start.
Yeah.
So you listen intensely
I'm a
couple of hours.
Yeah, I listen, I get to know. I can't write a song with someone until I know how they're feeling. I'm not one of those songwriters that a lot of them can do or sit down and go, we're going to write today, we're going to write about blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what are we going to write about and why? And another golden rule for me is it's very easy to throw away a big happy pop song or like a dance tune. But if that person, if it's a young, like this girl band, or if that's how they're feeling and all they want to do is to be going out that night and get pissed or go out with their boyfriend or whatever, then that's what I write about. That to me is more true rather than trying to write this super deep, it's got to be all, we've got to break everyone's hearts. This person I'm writing with is just like going out tonight, going out to get laid, or I'm going to go out and get wasted. I'm like, okay, we'll write about that. I'm going to write a big up-tempo, fun song. So it's all about tuning into their mood. Sometimes you speak to someone, they're heartbroken, we'll write about that. Sometimes someone will come in with an idea. I wrote a song with Ellie Goulding a fair few years ago called Lights, and she came running down into the studio. And she goes, I've got this idea. And I'm like, what? She goes, I want to call my album Lights, but I need to write a song called Lights. I said, okay, how are we going to do it? She goes, well, I used to be really scared of the dark when I was a kid. And that's where the song started. And I talked to her about that, how he felt. And then we wrote Lights, and that number one in America. And
What were you scared of as a kid, Tom?
Wolves.
Wolves?
Football.
Bear in mind, I grew up on the Hertfordshire Essex borders. There was no apparent danger from wolves.
Why are you scared of wolves?
Because they could eat you.
Okay, anything else?
Foxes.
Okay, there's snakes. A theme here. Okay, animal theme. And I was afraid of Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. From Child's Play, not from Rugrats. although he was actually quite scary. Very similar.
Yeah.
But I recently, Chucky's on Sky. It says they've turned it into a series.
Oh, no.
That's wrong.
And it's so bad.
Yeah.
But I forced myself the other night to watch it.
Right.
Daisy, she was like, what the fuck is this shit? I've got to watch it. She was like, why? I was like, because I watched Child's Play when I was five. She went, why are you watching Child's Play when you're five? I went, I put it in the thing
that's really
by accident.
Child's Play, yeah.
It's very young.
I know. And it came up and I'd watched about 20 minutes. That's just stayed with me the whole time. My sisters used to have China face dolls. You know those like dolls?
Blinking eyes.
Yeah.
All of them were smashed. I'd just go around with Dad's hammer, like, smashing all the faces in. That was the end of that for them. And it wasn't until last week where I went, why have I been scared of Chucky all my life? He's fucking dreadful. Like, it's not...
Yeah,
it's
that's just, good, then.
I got over my fear, thanks.
Yeah,
I appreciate that one.
This is ludicrous. So if we were going to try and write a song for Joe today, Biff...
Yes.
What sort of vibe are we getting off Joe at the moment?
I did think of some. You're not going to get me singing, by the way.
No, hey. Put me on the spot. I'm the singer here.
You're the singer here. But because I've read your book, that's what I said. So I felt I know you. I did write a little bit, and I'm a big admirer of your advocacy for mental health and stuff and everything.
Thank you, brother.
Documentary, right?
Thank you.
Been through a lot of it myself. So I kind of touched on something, and I'd start with words and write some words down and worked on a metaphor for what you went through and stuff like that. So that's where I'd start.
Fuck me. We need some ads. Let's get some ads, and then we'll do this a bit of song after.
So those were the adverts, and Biff has his iPhone open in front of him.
Yeah.
And he's written some lyrics. Joe, at the risk of ruining these lyrics, fucking hell, this is the biggest honour ever, isn't it?
I don't know how I feel about it. I'll be honest, I've got some butterflies.
Yeah, me too.
In my tummy. That's how I'm feeling. That's how I'm genuinely feeling. I'm also starstruck. This is my starstruck face, which no one can see on a podcast.
No.
Okay, so... silence.
Do you want me to read the words I got?
Yes, please.
Well, I've called the song Air Miles because it's about how you didn't want to go on the tour. Right? I was thinking of a metaphor. So I can't call it home or a mission. I thought Air Miles is quite a good metaphor about it.
Air Miles, yeah.
So I thought, so what I'd do, I'd start with the verse and that would be quite sad, explaining why you're in a bit of a mess. Then the pre-chorus, which is the bit that sort of builds up before the chorus, is more promising. It brings the hope. And then the chorus is the kind of explanation of why you're kind of, you're all right and you're getting better.
Fucking hell. So that's the sort of...
That's my process.
Is that the breakdown of a song that you do? Like,
for me, yeah. For this one for you called Air Miles. So I've got, for a verse, I've got, when I lost a plot, I ran away to forget what I got. I took a chance and declined, lost my strength in a bind. I knew I needed you to feel safe and not scared. I was sick at the thought of those feelings, feeling I'd never stand up. So I'm thinking of Daisy and how you probably wanted to, because I read your book, haven't I? And then the bit building up to the chorus, which brings the promise and the hope, is, so I stayed, I held on, took a breath, it begun, and I realised all I wanted was my home. And the chorus is, home, to be safe and admit to myself I'm not alone. You're my everything, more than anything, you can save me in this world. So baby, please protect me from this wild. We can't be separated from Air Miles.
Fucking hell.
I wrote that in the car.
I'm just going to start crying, Joe.
I can't do this. He's written that song like that, just like that. Yeah, but that's a good song. I can't take the piss out of that.
What chords do we want behind this?
Hang on. What's a chord?
A chord is... Or...
Not really explained what a chord is.
Biff, do you want to do the technicals?
What's a chord?
Well, you've got minor, major chords, you've got all kinds. Just think of them as moods they make you feel. Up, down.
Give me a bad mood.
I'll give you... So the minor chords So an E minor.
E minor is beautiful.
Oh, very
kinda
pretty.
Sad, makes you feel a bit.
We can have a A minor.
Classic A minor.
If you want your happy, you're going for your majors, your D, A,
okay,
G, C.
How do you know music?
I don't. We need to make it clear that I don't.
how do you know music?
Well, this is the thing. I don't know music that well on purpose because I've got a theory. If you're really good at playing an instrument, you can't write songs because you're just thinking about, if I go to... If you're just... You just... Come here.
Why songwriting then? Were you into music?
Right, here's my sad bit.
Yeah.
So I come from a quite abusive childhood and I won't get too emotional about it, but yeah, it was pretty shit. And my escape was headphones, just to keep him away from me, was headphones and music and pop music. So I used to sit in my room with headphones on just to, because I was scared all the time. So I was just in my room from a little kid for a long time. And my escape was music. And I think to be able to write songs and be creative in any way, you have to go on that roller coaster of emotions and ups and downs. And there was so much shit as a kid that I kind of learned how... I mean, I wrote my first song when I was six for my mum. So I used to try and keep her happy because she was so worried all the time.
Yeah.
So I used to write her songs. And then my dad was a boxer, and she was sick when I was supposed to be going to York Hall. I don't even know York Hall, the famous
thing.
Yeah, that's where we grew up. I was having secret piano lessons. It's a bit Billy Elliot, my life, really. She was sending me, like, do you know what I mean? And I used to sort of come back and rough myself up on the wall to make it look like I'd been sparring.
Did you?
Yeah. And then, but really, I was, you know, learning piano lessons.
That's a rough piano lesson thing.
So that's, and then at 16, she was like, you need to, you know, get out, sort of thing, to get away. And I left home at 16 and was homeless and did the whole squat homeless thing and just went from there. And so that's why I songwrite, because I write myself happy. So most of my biggest hits are like big, like, come on,
yeah,
let's all unite, let's love, let's be happy. And that's why I do it. I write myself happy, basically. I've always done it. Saying that, I've just written something that's quite emotional for you, but it makes me happy because you
like seeing me sad?
No, because I think your journey on a serious note is amazing. I think you seem to have... It's got a happy ending.
Yeah, it has, yeah. You know. Oh, that's really cool. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing your story. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Is it every song has just got six notes? I'm going to say it wrong. Eight notes,
yeah.
Every single song in the world has only got eight notes?
Yeah, pretty much, just in different orders and different... And the gaps are longer and shorter ones.
Are there only eight notes in the world?
Yeah, kind of. But there's loads of different chords.
Right, what's a note? Yeah, but you've just done that on a guitar. What's that note on a piano?
The same.
But it's not. There's no strings on a piano.
There are.
Where? Where the fuck are the strings?
Strings are under inside the pianos. They're just little things that knock strings inside. I think explaining...
There's strings in a piano.
Music's really difficult, I think. If you try and think of it from here and not there, it's easier to understand.
There's got to be strings in a piano.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't get past the fact that there's strings in the piano. I fucked it so hard. Fucking hell.
Is it not amazing, though, Biff? Because, yeah, there's eight notes.
Yeah.
And there have been millions of songs written down the years that... You can still find room and find a fresh melody.
People are still trying to sue you, though. I've had that a few times. We've all had that. Have I sued anyone else? I nearly did.
Oh, is it a common thing in the songwriting industry?
Yeah, massive. Well, if it's a really big hit, it's a massive thing. Yeah, you have to be really careful now. They'll be on you. Especially Americans, the lawyers, they're like...
The big recent ones were Sheeran and Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye.
Sheeran in general.
Okay.
Yeah, was Sheeran and Let's Get On quite close then, was it?
Let's get it on.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with me loving you.
Oh, actually, it does sound a bit Sheeran-y.
Exactly the same chords, yeah.
Thinking Out Loud. Yeah. Did you do
Thinking Out Loud's amazing, isn't it? It's a great song.
It is amazing. Yeah. Why can't it, though? Why can't you do songs that are so similar?
I think Ed's the first person to admit that he does, and then he gives his fair share, to be honest. Sometimes Ed's written something and someone gone, that's a bit like mine, and he's a real gent, Ed. He's just like, here you go, here's a percentage of it.
Gallagher did it really as well, cool. Didn't he?
Yeah.
No, Gallagher had it a few times with Shaker Maker being I Want to Teach the World to Sing, was it?
Yeah, yeah, and so I think it's flattering. I've heard stuff that sounds like I've done over the years. I'm flattered by it. I'm not going to go after that person's ask for money and stuff. It's flattering. I mean, sometimes things are really identical, then you need to go in legally, But then you're getting into that adult grown-up stuff and I just want to be the little kid writing songs. You know what I mean?
It's the way that songs are written. Is it changing? I read a very interesting book about how in that sort of mid to late 90s period, the Max Martin school of Swedish pop took over the world.
He's the king, basically.
And he's not actually called Max Martin.
He's like our leader.
Who's Max Martin?
Max Martin's the biggest... After McCartney, the most successful songwriter of all time. He's a Swedish guy that was in a rock band back in the day. And then he just said, I'm going to write pop songs. Like proper cool Swedish, you know, long hair and rocker. And wrote Hit Me Baby One More Time for Britney Spears. Wrote everything for Backstreet Boys. And he's basically...
He's God.
He's God, he's basically. God in, I'm trying in to think of the rugby of equivalent. But he's so meek. And is so... He? Yeah, you would never know in a million years.
His sound, that sound on Hit Me Baby One More Time, or on Backstreet's Back, that sort of bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just that same sort of piano and the same snare on everything, same drum kit. He'll transpose halfway through a chorus as well, which means he'll take it up, so it's a bit more exciting.
My loneliness, that bit.
Yeah. And you just deal with it. And so it feels like it's
killing me now. Yeah. Hit me, baby, one more time.
But the thing about that song, it's 3 minutes 30. And it's such a classic song that 3 minutes 30 is now considered the perfect length for a pop song. So if you write a song that happens to be 3 minutes 30, you're kind of like, yeah, win. Because it's the max length. Yeah.
Even if it's a shower of shit, as long as it's gone almost 3 minutes
and 30. Yeah, I think something I did recently is 3:30 with Kylie, and that was quite a big hit. And that was 3:30 just by luck.
What would you say is, in your opinion, the greatest song ever written?
What a question.
The greatest song ever written.
Well, I've got my favourite song ever written.
Yeah.
But I've also got what I think the greatest song ever written is.
Yeah, we'll go with the first one.
The greatest song for me ever written is Blue Monday by New Order.
Bum, bum, bum,
How
bum,
does
bum,
it bum, feel? Bum. Because it changed my life.
How does it feel?
It's quite a dark
dance. To treat me like you do.
I was about 15 and just went, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. So that's my favourite song. Possibly, I think the greatest song ever written is probably Wichita Lineman.
Quite slow and sad.
Yeah, really sad and heartbreaking, and it just...
Can you sing it for me, please, Tom?
I am a lineman for the county.
It's beautiful.
And I ride that main road.
What's a Wichita Linesman? Wait, is it an American football player?
No.
I always thought he was talking about a little American
Searching
football.
In the sun for another overload. So I think Biffy's
amazing
just...
Amazing strings and yeah. Everything about it is perfect.
Apparently that was unfinished, that song.
Some of the greatest songs, the people that write them just don't think they're that great. It's weird, isn't it?
It's got that warm melancholia about it.
Melancholy?
Melancholy.
Melancholy?
Melancholy is your start.
Melancholy.
That's a bad name.
I'll just clarify. Isn't it melancholy?
Melancholy, yeah.
So, but we're going with melancholy.
No, melancholia.
Melancholia? Fuck's sake.
Never heard that.
What I was saying, Joe, is that, yeah, it's a happy, sad song, Biff, isn't it?
Yeah, they're the best songs. Warm. I love songs like that. They kind of like beautiful sadness, I call it.
Yeah.
It's where you rejoice. And it's kind of making you feel down, but you're rejoicing in the...
It's your down, it's your warmth.
Yeah, your own sort of private place, yeah.
Jasper's two favourite songs. You know that on Spotify you get your most played thing or most listened to, like your year breakdown.
Yeah.
Ours was Astronaut in the Ocean.
What's that?
It's a rap song that he fucking just, he does it off by heart. He loves it.
Brilliant.
Dad, put Astronaut in the Ocean. What do you know about rolling down in the deep when you... fucking hell. He does it so well. And then the other one's Willy Bum Bum.
Classic.
Right.
It's a classic, Willy Bum Bum. And it's actually really weird. It starts off with like a bee, a buzzy bee, stinging this guy's rectum. I know it goes back to that. Always goes back to rectums on this podcast. So it's a bit weird. Me and Dave were like, is that play on? And then we're just like, yeah, fucking crack on. So
what's your favourite song though?
I like Set Fire to the Rain.
Fantastic, yeah.
Set fire to the rain. Oh, I'm ruling.
So though. Good.
I'm also a big Paul Simon fan.
Mm. Yeah.
I really like Kathy's song.
Beautiful, yeah.
To England, where my heart lies.
He's so good.
He's amazing.
See, if you've got them, see, so,
only living boy in New York, I'd stick in the top five.
There's so many. It's endless, isn't
Lady it? Smith, Black Mambazo.
Yeah,
it's
brilliant.
Anyway, sorry, they're mine. A very eclectic. My missus, she's always been like, what fucking music do you listen to, honestly? Also, to be fair, I've only recently changed it. I used to have a playlist on Spotify called Dark and Gloomy.
Yeah.
And it was just sad song.
Did that used to cheer you
song.
Up, though? Did you find it?
I used to lose myself in it. I just, I love it. I've always been more inclined to go with sad songs.
Yeah.
I love them. Like Joni Mitchell, Both Sides Now.
Like, it's like a release, isn't it?
Fuck. Yeah. I love that. Listening to her voice and the emotion in it.
Yeah.
I love it. But Days would always be like, fucking hell, mate, can you not put this this playlist on just with all the kids whilst we're in here just trying to be a bit more upbeat? I was like, yeah, fair enough. And she was like, maybe think about changing it as well, just dark and gloomy. I was like, well, it says what it is on so I changed it to thoughtful.
That's better, than mindful. Yeah, that's good.
Gives it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sticking Willy Bum Bum.
Willy Bum Bum has made it.
Right in the middle of it,
But this, so there are songs I've Googled. It says the best songs ever written, and it's come back with top 500, according to Rolling Stone magazine.
This could take a while.
I'm not doing all 500.
Wait up too late a bit.
I bet you can't guess what number 8 on this list
number
is.
Number 8. Got to be a clue, isn't there, for this?
I will give you a clue of it is a female American artist and a male artist, but I think he's credited with just writing it with her. His name is also a
town on the M4.
His name is also a footwear brand of boots.
Timberland.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Is it Missy Elliott?
Yeah.
Is it Get Your Freak On?
Get Your Freak On.
Oh, come on. Get Your Freak On.
It's amazing.
Get Your Freak On.
That's a producer's go-to. Some songs are just producers, like, that's reference to everyone. That's when we all heard that, we were just like, oh, it's all over. Perfect. It's perfect.
That's fucking unbelievable. But I would never have thought 10. That would have been in the top 10 of the greatest songs ever written, according to this.
People go crazy when you put that on.
Yeah, so why does that work?
Absolutely nuts.
Right, from a songwriter's point of view, why does that work?
His drum programming, the space, the way Timbaland does drums, just everyone just goes to it. It's got that really clever bit with the Japanese bit and the backwards bit. And the it's got so many brilliant elements to it. And she's just got attitude. I think it just comes on and everybody just, it just goes off.
It's such a weird rhythm, isn't it?
Rihanna's very similar. People go crazy to that and you think that's ridiculous. You don't even know what she's saying, but people go crazy to that song.
What about number four? It was written in 1965. A male. He's got two first names.
Bob Dylan.
Which one?
Like a Rolling Stone.
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Different song. That's the Temptations.
What was his one then?
How's it feel when you're on your own like a rolling stone?
I think the Temptations should have been there instead.
Yeah, I think so.
You could sing that with your falsetto as well.
What do you think number one in the top 500 according to Rolling Stones is? Rolling Stone magazine.
If it's Rolling Stones, it's going to be Beach Boys.
No, it was written by Otis Redding.
Respect.
Is it?
Aretha's version.
Yeah,
it's got to be her version, yeah.
The top three were Aretha Franklin, Respect at one, Public Enemy, Fight the Power at two.
Oh, that's amazing.
Fight the Power!
That's political as well, so that's got everything.
And Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How did I forget? Fleetwood Mac, Dreams.
Where's beautiful. That?
Number nine.
Is it? What's the most surprising one, Joe, for you?
Outkast, Hey Ya, at 10.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazing song, but it's number 10.
Brilliant.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Genius.
Malusi lose. Yeah. Oh, fuck, it is actually good when you sing it back.
But I think, sorry, Miss Jackson. That's even better. It's even
I
better.
I am for real.
Yeah, brilliant, aren't they?
Never meant to make your daughter cry.
Once again.
I apologize a trillion times.
Do you reckon, Biff, right, so your songs come from feeling. I was wondering the way here. It seems to me you can get away with a terrible lyric, but an amazing melody, but you can't get away with the opposite. You can't get away with an incredible lyric and a shit melody.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Because sometimes you're writing a lyric and you get a better lyric, but it just doesn't work. So you think, oh, these are better words. These will touch people more. And if I read it, it will look better. And you sing it, it just doesn't sing better. So you just have to kind of morph it.
So the cadence doesn't work, what we
say? Yeah, the cadence and the vowel sounds and the stuff like that, yeah. It's really important, that one.
Joe, we've got a little list, haven't we, of some of the more questionable lyrics of all time.
Yeah, no, we have, Tom. The number one on my list here, it's a terrible song. It was actually voted as one of the worst of all time. God, just completely and utterly dog shit. Awful. I'm really hoping that you don't turn around and say, actually, no, it takes a lot of skill to write this song.
It was one of them, I wrote it. I've had that before.
Pay for Biff's house.
Yeah.
It is the cheeky song, Touch My Bum,
by the
Cheeky Girls. Oh, for fuck's
sake. But it's kind of funny. I wouldn't say that was written seriously.
No. What else you got, Jane?
I'm not surprised.
I always loved this song, and it's not until now that I read it out loud. I'm like, fucking hell, how's they got away with this? How's they got away with it? Kings of Leon, Sex is on Fire.
Give us a blast.
No,
lyrics.
Lay where you're laying. Lay where you're laying.
Yeah.
Don't make a sound. I know they're watching. They're watching. All the commotion. The kiddie-like play. Not sure I'm comfortable with that one. Has people talking. They're talking. Your sex is on fire. The dark of the alley. Fucking hell. The breaking of day. Head while I'm driving. Head while I'm driving.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
You don't. Yeah.
Right, here we go. I'm driving. Soft lips are open.
Wow.
Them knuckles are pale. Fucking hell. Feels like you're dying. You're dying.
That's Kings of Leon, right?
Yeah.
But they're like proper Christian, aren't they? Isn't their dad like a pastor? They're like proper religious.
I mean, I wouldn't even call it a subtext there. That is the
soft
text.
Lips are open.
How
them knuckles are
that?
Pale.
Biff, why does that work as a song then? Is it because we can sing Your Sex Is On Fire when we're drunk?
That's a little bit of that drunk thing I'm saying. So I imagine you were singing it on the coast.
That's all,
again. It's like Mr. Brightside, right?
Yeah.
It's one of them, isn't it?
Classic post-rugby.
Bit of a lad's... Got all that, isn't it?
You like go in Cardiff song. After an international, all you hear is Your Sex Is On Fire and Mr. Brightside.
I'd say that's why.
Fuck's
easy
sake.
To sing pissed.
And a bit of...
Yeah, a bit of that.
Right, what about Black Eyed Peas, My Humps?
That's horrible. That's just horrible.
Go on, Joe. But can you read this, Joe?
Is that my lovely Sussex lady lumps? Isn't it that?
Yeah. Joe, I'd like this Sussex style, please.
I'm a get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my hump. 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 My lovely little lumps.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I'm going to give you a famous one from Desiree.
Terrible one about toast.
That's it.
How can someone put that one an award?
I don't want to see a ghost. It's the sight that I fear most. I'd rather eat a piece of toast. Watch the evening news.
That's
live.
Just ridiculously. That won an award for the most played record on radio in Europe. Like some European radio awards. Yeah,
that is fucking ridiculous.
Shit, basically.
You can. Sorry, I'd rather eat a piece of toast and watch the evening news.
Yeah. Something about being afraid of the
dark. I don't
want to
see a ghost. It's the sight that I fear most.
Horrible.
I'd rather eat a piece of toast and watch the evening news.
This is a bit weird, and I didn't even know that it was the case. Snap. Rhythm is a dancer. Is that the one? Rhythm is a dancer. I'm serious as cancer when I say rhythm is a dancer. What the fuck? Who's come up with that as a lyric?
And he also skews to be dancer, so it rhymes with cancer. That's really ugly.
Is a dancer.
I've got a good Madonna one. Sorry, Madonna.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Big listener to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did this thing. I wrote this one down. She rhymes Mini Cooper with Super Duper. So she said. So she goes, I'm drinking a soy latte. I get a double shot. It goes right through my body, and you know I'm satisfied. I drive my Mini Cooper, and I'm feeling super duper. So they tell me I'm a trooper, and you know I'm satisfied. It's like Madonna. I mean, I'm like a massive Madonna fan. She's like legendary. But as she's got older and decides she wants to write all that, that's a rap. Madonna rapper, not good, is it?
Was that just after when she was pulled off the stage? Maybe she'd
maybe she'd hit her head.
That clip of her, have you ever
super
seen
duper Mini Cooper,
the cape one where she couldn't get it off in time.
Yeah, but incredible. She just went, and then you heard her land.
Oh my god!
I had some friends there, and they said you just heard her land.
Fuck!
The bass hit the whole.
Feeder, Buck Rogers. Get a house in Devon. Drink cider from a lemon.
Yeah. Drink cider from a lemon.
I don't
lemon.
Hate that.
Why not?
Because it's so catchy.
So catchy.
Have you ever drunk
it?
Cider from a lemon?
No, but that's why I quite like it, I think.
I want to drink cider from a lemon.
Yes. It just paints a picture.
How would you do that, though? Because lemons are quite small.
Are you hollowing out the whole lemon?
Quite
or
nice.
Are you getting an infusion of cider in half a lemon?
So what I think I'm doing is I'm going to cut a hole in the lemon.
At the top? You got it egg style, have you? Like that way around?
There isn't a top of a lemon.
Is it on its side or is it pointing upwards?
Pointed.
Okay.
And I'm going to go up that way.
Just back on that again.
And then put it on top of the bottle.
Oh.
And then make a little hole at the top.
Yeah.
And then drink it through the lemon.
That'll work.
That'll work.
But gin would be better, wouldn't it?
I'm going to throw in one more, a famous one from an Elton John song, but obviously a Bernie Taupin lyric. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise the kids. In fact, it's cold as hell. And there's no one there to raise them if you did. What do you think?
Not great. I don't know. I don't think I'd get away with that one.
What's your best lyric?
My best lyric? Yeah. Oh, God. Come on.
What's one that you're most proud of that you go,
I
love that being shouted back to me.
I really like Viva Forever, Spice Girls. Mm. That makes me cry. And so, like, I wrote it and I get I feel when you write a really good one, you feel detached, like you haven't done it. So that one really makes me feel. I'm really proud of To Become One when she says put it on the third time round, because we're talking about safe sex. So that was a bit of a moment to get that in. I love Carly's Love at First Sight, because that was the first song. So I was with her at Glastonbury backstage. She said, you've got to come backstage and things like that. And then she said, because I'm doing Love at First Sight first. And it's actually also my favourite song I've ever written.
Is it?
Yeah, so she started with my favourite song. It was 120,000 people. We were just up on that raised bit on the side.
That is nuts.
Just watching that.
Isn't that the most amazing experience to imagine? That a song that you've just sat there in a little studio and you've come up with, and you go out and one of the world's greatest entertainers is singing it to 120,000 people with millions of people watching it on TV and they're all singing it.
It must be the biggest buzz.
Massive buzz.
How come you haven't seen it
with her? So
Like, what a lovely compliment, Tom.
I know, I get that a lot. I just have to do it. I have to write songs. Like, I felt like I had to write something. Do you see what I mean? That's what I do. And all the other stuff that comes with it is just kind of like, just comes with it.
Come on, you've had 6 Christmas number ones, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing that yearly income's not to,
yeah,
be sniffed
One More
at.
Sleep's doing all right at the moment. So I'd be lying if I didn't say that I monitor One More Sleep because it's just fun.
Yeah.
Because you can see how many plays you get, and then that gets better every year.
Yeah.
That's like 8, 9 years old, and it's getting bigger and bigger. So that's kind of nice.
What are the other ones?
So Stay Another Day. Gotcha. And a lot of, like Spice Girls had 3 Christmas number ones. And then I did quite a lot of X Factor stuff. So I did like Matt Cardle. I did loads of Little Mix stuff. They went to another one.
Matt Cardle.
When we collide together. I was the musical director of X Factor for 2 years, so I did the One Direction year and the Little Mix year, so I helped sort of put them together and did One Direction, Little Mix year.
What, just touch on that X Factor stuff, what do you say to the musical purists that say there's no place, well obviously X Factor's finished now, but there's no place for these reality shows?
Postcodes, because you can be, a lot of artists now are kind of not entitled, but they're quite privileged just because where they live. If they're born in West London, or they're born in Brighton, or they're born in, you've got a better chance of doing it. If you're a Little Mix and 2 of you are from South Shields, where there's fuck all, one of the greatest things that I can do is make somebody achieve their dreams, because I did. So if you look at Little Mix, who are fucking brilliant, I mean, they sing and they're proper good.
Yeah.
So I helped put them together with Talisa and Simon Cowell. We put that together, and they were literally from nothing. They would never have had that chance. They wouldn't be able to form that band and get a chance for 20 million people to watch them on a Saturday night. So that's why I just, fuck off, because it's given people chances. Deona Lewis, Hackney, London, how would she have had the chance? There's a lot of privilege in the music industry, and all the great artists we love probably don't have that, the Beatles being the ultimate one. So that's my argument to that, and I'll always stick by it. And these kids, I still good friends with Little Mix. They come in now and they're like superstars, and they're happy, and they've achieved their dreams.
All because
and
of that,
for me, is job done.
Yeah,
job done. Right.
What would you say is the worst thing about the music industry? All the bullshit that goes with it. Yeah,
writing the songs and doing that is easy.
Yeah.
It's just all the bullshit and the sharks. And there's a lot of great people, which you tend to then gravitate around, because then you meet all the other nice people as well. So, like, Team Kylie is like heaven.
Yeah.
Everyone around her, because she's such a beautiful person, everyone around her is kind and gentle and on time and generous and everything. So you end up leaning towards that. But there's so many sharks out there. There's so many people. So that's hard. And then as soon as you start getting hits and making money and everything, that all happens as well, and that fucks everything up. Because everybody thinks you're just doing it for the money, and they're just... So then you get all that people that would work, and people think you have a hit record, and a cheque for £1 million comes through your door. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, that's not how it works.
Could you, if we were talking to the 18-year-old Biff now...
Yeah.
And he was trying to make it as a songwriter, could you still make it as a songwriter the way that... royalties work now with streaming?
Well, the 18-year-old Biff was go-go dancing in the gay club for fucking money, so he would have probably been off his face and kind of like, I'm all right, mate, fuck off.
I'd have actually really enjoyed that attempt at a conversation. Yeah. Biff, just to say, fuck off, I'll be here in a minute.
Fuck off, I've got my little...
Finish this!
I've got my Dunlop tennis shorts on.
Bum, 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 bum.
All the cash down there. I would say... keep on going, because loads of people ask me this question, and I just believe it, and just because I just do what I do, and just believe in yourself and channel the shit into a positive place, because that's what I did. So I just want myself happy.
Yeah, I love that. Happy. I love the way that you describe that.
Yeah, that's what I did. I was like, fuck you.
That's got to be the title of your book, Biff.
Write myself happy, comma, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have the fuck you bit on it.
Yeah, no, I like that. Maybe asterisk it, just in case. Yeah. Who am I to comment, actually?
It is a case as well, I don't know, but you just see, if I can do it, then anyone can. I've always had imposter syndrome.
Mm.
But that's better than being a twat and thinking you're the bee's knees, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Isn't it?
I still find it unbelievable how you have imposter syndrome when you've had all of these hits. Like, you have had all of these hits.
Yes,
you know that.
Sir.
Like, you've done all of this.
Yes.
And yet... it's just been, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, Biff. It's been brilliant. I loved your stories. I loved your energy as well. Just the way you've come in and you just crack on with it.
Yeah, man.
So thank you.
I love the show. I think it's amazing. So it's been an honour. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
you're welcome, man.
Joe, I think we can let the listeners into some secrets of what's just happened in the studio. We've both just embraced Biff in manly man hugs because Biff is a lovely man and we both liked him very, very much.
I loved Biff. What a man. The way he speaks as well, you just can't help but... Oh, I love you, Biff. And the fact that he's openly invited us to go down to his studio and record... Phew, I saw your erection.
It's not often people say that.
We should definitely take him up on that, I think.
If you also enjoyed that episode and you want to support the show, good news, you can now subscribe three ways. Apple, Spotify and Patreon. Search for Joe Marler Show, because for a single pound a week, you can get bonus content, ad-free episodes, and you'll be growing the show at the same time. If you would like another podcast to listen to, here's one for you. Go Love Yourself is the new podcast by Bake Off star and body confidence influencer Laura Adlington and her best friend Lauren. It's the podcast where everyone's working to love themselves a little more. And they'll be chatting about everything from diet culture to dating, mental health to social media, and generally not giving a fuck about what people think. Search for Go Love Yourself to listen now.
From the Bake Off?
The very same.
Okay, I'm going to get into that one. But who have we got next week on our one?
Joe, I've got a feeling it may be a classic. It's an estate agent.
I'm intrigued.
You've bought a house, haven't you?
Loads.
Sold a house?
Loads.
That should be a good one then, Joe.
Loads.
Network, a place where you belong.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is a Blast Box Media Podcast.